Brothers and sisters, this great solemnity of Pentecost is a day for the church that is every bit as big as Christmas or Easter. Indeed, today is somewhat the fulfillment of everything that Christmas and Easter pointed toward. Just 50 days ago, we gathered in this darkened church and first lit our paschal candle. We sang the beautiful words, "Come, Spirit," as we prayed over the waters of baptism. And indeed, now we see that the Spirit has come. Today is the public manifestation of everything that we've been celebrating as a church for the last 50 days. And as we gather as a church today in our scripture reading, I would like to draw your attention particularly to two key places, two locations where the events take place. One is, of course, that upper room. The room where probably so many times the apostles gathered with Jesus, it would have been a place familiar to them, a house of one of the followers. They would have gathered there to talk and meet with Jesus. Intimacy in that upper room. And of course, it is the famous room where Jesus institutes the Eucharist in the priesthood on the night before he dies. And today it is also the beautiful upper room into which the Spirit comes. I've had a chance to be in that upper room in Jerusalem. It's an experience you'll never forget, to be in that place where so many of the key events in our faith happened. It's a room that would have had security and safety. No doubt that's why we see in our first reading today that when the apostles are a little afraid, a little scared, where do they go? They go to that room. It was there that they encountered Jesus, risen from the dead. But now Jesus seemingly is gone. He ascended to heaven 10 days previous. They're a little afraid. Now what? Probably would have been the question. He had said, wait, stay for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And so there they were. It says that the doors were locked out of fear. They had the good news, they knew the message, but they were afraid to go out and share it. It's to this upper room that the Spirit comes. The second key place, then, is what immediately happens next. The public square. From the quiet safety of the locked upper room, bursting onto the streets when the Spirit comes. No longer afraid and huddled in hiding. Now the apostles are out on the streets proclaiming boldly the message of Jesus. These two key places, that upper room and the public square, I think hold special significance for us today as well. The upper room represents safety for us too. It's a little bit like our church building. It's here that we encounter Jesus in the Eucharist, in the priesthood, where we too sit and listen to the words of Jesus in Scripture. This is where we get to know Jesus. It's a place of safety, of comfort here, especially at Curé of Ars, where we're such a family. We know we can come here and to some extent we expect to feel comfortable, like the apostles would have felt in that upper room. I think to some extent, it represents for us the sacraments, the system that we're used to. We're used to encountering Jesus in the Eucharist. We know we're going to sit and listen to the Word. It's peaceful. But for us, too, the celebration of Pentecost is a call to be not just in this place, but to not forget the other place, the public square. We, too, are called to go out. We can't just stay comfortable in our little church here and give God his 1 hour a week where we're allowed to talk about Jesus, and then we go on as if this was just a place to come to once a week. That's not what happens on Pentecost. That's what the apostles were comfortable with, but the Spirit does something different. The Spirit, like that strong driving wind that we hear, the fire, it pushes them. It blows where it wills. It makes them go in places they maybe wouldn't have expected. It might be comfortable here to talk about Jesus in our church, but maybe we're a little afraid when we get outside the walls of this building. on this day especially, that we need to pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," because that makes all the difference. We need to be like the apostles, able to speak about Jesus in the public square. And I admit, we have done a pretty good job, at least recently, to speak about issues in the public square. We are good now about talking about political things and the way our faith influences political decisions. And while that's good that we talk about things that affect our government and our faith and the interplay, it's not the most important thing we need to talk about. To some extent, that's even easy to talk about because it's ultimately not that personal. They're issues, things we're in favor of or not in favor of. The thing that the apostles went out to talk about and the thing that we need to go out and talk about are not issues, but to talk about Jesus. Now that seems like such a simple thing. Well, of course, we're Christians. What else would we go out and talk about? But think how hard that is. When was the last time you actually sat down and had a conversation about Jesus or your faith with someone outside this church building or outside our school? Not so easy when you think about it. There's a lot of fear there, especially I think for us as Catholics. We've got the sacraments. We've got our upper room. We've got our little system, and it can be really comfortable. We've been baptized. We know we're Christian. We've been confirmed. That's supposedly when we receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the Eucharist. We get Jesus. We've got it all. Problem is, that's here. But does it affect the world out there? We're not meant to just be holy ourselves and have the sacraments and feel good. We've got a beautiful message, a message that in Greek they call euangelion, good news, a gospel. And that gospel has to be proclaimed. Other people need to know about Jesus, especially people who already think they know. That's probably our great challenge today to us that the apostles maybe didn't have to deal with. We have to go talk to people about Jesus who already think they know who Jesus is and are probably going to blow us off. They've grown up kind of surrounded by Christianity and they think they get it, but they don't. What do we do? How do we go out and share our faith? Two things. First thing we have to be able to speak about is we have to speak the story of Jesus. What is that story? It's everything we've been celebrating for the past 50 days of Easter. Jesus risen from the dead, but starting with the fact that we need a Savior. To some extent, back to Christmas. Now, it shouldn't be too hard to convince people that we need saving. Everybody, I think, has a sense that not everything is right in this world, not everything is right in their life. The question is, can we bring them something that makes sense of it? That's the story of Jesus. That's our faith. The passion, death, resurrection of Jesus makes sense out of everything that is broken and wrong with our lives in the world. It gives order, a story that explains and allows us to live through all the other difficulties. The story of Jesus. That's the first thing we've got to go out and talk about, especially to people who think they already know. But the second thing, and maybe the harder thing, is that we've got to speak the story of our experience of Jesus. We've got to tell our story. We've got to know Jesus' story, but we've got to know our story. And that's the great beauty of Pentecost. Multiple flames, tongues dividing, many gifts of the Spirit, St. Paul tells us. Each of our stories is different, but each of us is called to be an evangelist with that story. No one can speak your story the way you can. You know, a lot of times we make it seem harder than it is. We look at that first reading, and especially the way it was performed for us today, we see multiple languages being spoken. And it is true that the church speaks all languages on the face of the earth. But if you listen carefully to what that scripture said, it says that each of the people there heard in their own language. They heard in their own language. Notice it's not that the apostles went out and had to all of a sudden speak a bunch of languages they didn't know. The apostles spoke whatever language they spoke, probably Aramaic. Maybe in a public setting like that, they would have spoken Greek. But the apostles, all they had to do was speak what they knew. They spoke no fancy foreign language. They spoke their own language. And look what the Spirit did. The Spirit worked a miracle, and everybody heard in their own language. You see, if we are willing to work with the Spirit, we don't have to do anything fancy. You just have to tell people, this is what my experience with Jesus has been. This is how I personally have experienced the lowness of my life and to have the Savior swoop in and save me. Part of the song, Amazing Grace, I was lost, now I'm found. I've been saved. Now, sometimes we're not good at speaking that as Catholics. We hear language about being saved and talking about a personal relationship with Jesus, and we think, gosh, that's Protestant stuff. We don't do that. If someone asks you to have a personal relationship with Jesus, please don't tell them we don't do that stuff, because we do. We have to. Tell the story. Now, it may be hard at first. You know, as a priest, you get asked all the time, Father, why did you decide to become a priest? Oh my gosh, well, I mean, that's like, you know, a novel if you want to tell the whole story. But you don't get a novel. Someone's going to walk up to you in a restaurant. It happens to me all the time. Oh, you're a priest. What made you want to do that? And you're trying to eat your eggs. You're like, okay, well, you know, you've got to have like the 30-second version for that person that comes up to you and say, hey, you've got that Curie of Ars shirt on. What's that? What's that cure thing you're doing? Is that like a race? No, that's the church I go to. Oh, you're Catholic, huh? You gotta have a 30-second right there to explain, yes, I'm Catholic, and let me tell you how awesome it is. Tell them about Jesus and your relationship in the Catholic Church in 30 seconds. And you gotta practice it. As priests, we gotta do that. What's the 30-second version of the story? Maybe you get a chance sometimes where people want to hear the 5-minute version of the story. You need a 5-minute version of your story. And eventually, maybe you get to be really good friends with some of these people. You need the half hour, let's sit down and really talk about it version of the story. The point is, we've got the story, but we got to stop being afraid to put it into words. That's the one thing that the Holy Spirit is incompatible with, fear. The Holy Spirit drives out fear. And that's where the great joy of Pentecost leads us today. We too have our place of comfort here in our church. That's where we meet Jesus. It's beautiful. But today especially, if the rest of these pews are going to get filled up, if the rest of the world is going to hear about Jesus, it's only going to be because of us. Your life must be proclaimed for the glory of God. Today is a beautiful day of possibility. That's the wind, that's the fire. You don't know where the wind is gonna blow. You don't know what a fire might do. A fire is a destructive kind of thing, but it's also a purifying thing. When a forest fire goes through, it cleans up all the junk on the forest floor, lets new growth come forth. That's what's meant to happen today. Whatever junk is lying around your forest floor, allow the Holy Spirit in today. Get rid of all the junk, allow the new life to come in. Allow the Spirit to come and drive out the fear so that you too might leave the safety of our upper room, whatever that looks like for you, and go out and begin to speak. That's what happened on Pentecost. They began to speak. On this Pentecost Sunday, I pray that more and more the church throughout the world, renewed by 50 days of Easter, would find its voice to speak the truth about moral issues, certainly, but most of all, to speak the love of the heart of Jesus to a world that desperately needs to hear it. Jesus sends you today. Do not be afraid. Go out, tell your story, and let the Spirit blow where it will. What a joyful day, the day of the church. Happy Pentecost.